prepare to be amazed. All right, now who here remembers? For the summer, we are going through a series called Real Life Heroes. Who here remembers who we talked about last week? And Bob, you're not allowed to say anything if he's here. Nor is Bob's son allowed to say anything. Come on, can somebody tell me who did we talk about last week? George Mueller. Now, who here was aware of George Mueller before last Sunday? Raise your hand. You had heard of George Mueller before of last Sunday. Okay, very good. All right, fairly good number. Okay, so before this summer, has anyone ever heard of Kurt Kirkendall? One person, Kurt Kirkendall. Had you have heard of him before this summer hit? Now, why would that be? Well, the primary reason for that is because Kurt's fame came from a game that was as popular back then as curling is today. You may have heard of it, but nobody ever goes to a curling game seriously, right? And what game would that be? It was soccer, indeed. Back in the 70s, soccer was largely ignored, and America was largely inept. I mean, we were terrible in the game of soccer, especially on the international stage. We just were not that good. In fact, in those days, professional soccer players would go to the malls and try to drum up an audience for their games. True story. That's what they'd have to do because nobody cared. Well, Kurt played a role in changing all of that. But his life is an inspiration, not because he made something out of soccer, but because he made something out of his life. Kurt Kirkendall's story could be summarized as going from zero to hero. Let's pray, and I will tell you why. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for those who have gone before us, men and women who stood the test of faith. They had challenges. It wasn't an easy road for any one of them, but what makes them a hero is that they conquered their trials. They overcame the difficulties. They were faithful to the end. And their lives speak to us. They encourage us. They cheer us on. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't count yourself out. Fight the good fight of faith, and we can join the ranks of being a hero for Christ too. And that is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Kurt Kirkendall was born in, wait for it, Chicago, Illinois. Let's hear it for Chicago. Come on. Yep, I figured we'd get a shout out there. Yep, Chicago, Illinois. Back in 1952, he was born to a workaholic father and an alcoholic mother. And on top of that, his older brother, who was born mentally disabled, died when Kurt was but a kid. Now, growing up with such raw, constant pain in the home should have driven Kurt into a reckless, angry life. One that would blame and reject God for the problems in his life. And at first he did. Not in so much a hostile way, but in a more of an apathetic, indifferent kind of way. God just wasn't a reality to Kurt. And if that had stayed the case, there would be no story of Kurt Kirkendall to talk about. He would have loved, he would have died in obscurity, but God has a way of doing great things through those whose lives are fully committed to him. Everything was stacked up against Kurt. And so to escape the pain of his life, he immersed himself into a love of his life, which was basketball. Yeah, it was basketball. I mean, it became his life. It was his God. But this idol came crashing down when he was cut from the team. And with that, his dream of being a professional basketball player and playing in the Olympics were crushed. And it was at that moment of pain and hopelessness in Kurt's life that a few of his friends invited him to church. And God took it from there. Watch this video, just a short clip, where the real-to-life Kurt Kirkendall tells his testimony using a clip from a movie that was made about his life entitled For the Glory. Go ahead and run the clip.
One little known fact about me is that I was so small and so shrimpy that I couldn't make my high school basketball team. So I became a manager. So I was a manager picking up bottles and towels and jock straps my freshman and sophomore year. And then I all of a sudden grew like 6 inches to like 5'6". And I tried out for the team and went from manager to like sixth man playing point guard. I mean, so when things were about to get good for me, my senior year, where I had a chance to start and all the hard work had paid off, my dad got transferred from San Francisco to Bethesda, and my world came crashing down. So when I came out to Bethesda, I went to Walt Whitman High School. I was there just my senior year. I tried out for the basketball team, and which was the love of my life, and I got cut as a senior transfer guard. And my world really, really crashed.
Can you hear me? They say at that church that if I give you my life, you'll fix it. I don't have much to give. But I do have this. This is all I've got. And you can have it. This is my life. Take it, but please, just give me a sign that I'm on the right path.
Before going to bed, I got down on my knees and I said, Jesus, if you're real, come into my life. Forgive me and see if you can do something with me. And, you know, my life changed for that at that point. And it's never been the same. And he has been there, you know, all along the way.
Did you notice that Kurt didn't go through some Sunday school curriculum to become a Christian? You didn't see that there. It didn't happen in his real life. He didn't get all religious. He didn't get baptized. In fact, at that point, he hadn't even read a book. You see, Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with the true and living God. And so, what did Kurt do? What did he do? He humbled himself. He prayed to God. He asked Jesus to come into his life. And he trusted Jesus to save him from his sins and to do something with his life. He entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what Christianity is. It is a relationship with God. Now, it may have looked a little maybe childish, maybe kind of silly. Oh, isn't that quaint? Finds this little cross. You know, we can kind of make fun of that. Yeah, then you do it. Yeah, you go ahead. Do something that clearly identifies yourself as a follower of Christ in front of all your friends, in front of all the people that you meet. You have something that stands out like that. Yeah, it took courage and conviction for Kurt to do what he did. And it tells you something about the man. And that became a distinctive mark of Kurt's life. He would put that cross on his jersey every time he played a game. There was no mistaking to anybody what Kurt's life was all about. Now, these same friends that, you know, took Kurt to church, they also forced him to play a fraternity soccer game because they needed a goalie. All right? And so the first half of this pickup game, he stunk. I mean, he didn't even want to play soccer. He called it a girls' game. I mean, he didn't want... I mean, everybody had just a negative opinion of soccer. And so his first half, he stunk. But then in the second half, he stepped it up and he shut out the guy on the other team who played for the college soccer team. And after 3 months of practice, he tried out for the college soccer team and replaced the goalie and went on to become an All-American goalkeeper for American University in D.C. Pretty intense. Now, if you think, oh yeah, I see what's going on here. This is another one of those Cinderella stories. And you're thinking Kurt's story is just a Cinderella story. Well, if you think that, you'd be sadly mistaken. Just like a lot of Christians are sadly mistaken when they think that if they come to Christ, that he's going to fix all their problems. He's just going to make life a bed of roses. And so what do they do when problems still come into their life? What happens? Well, they pitch Jesus. They throw him into the garbage and say, oh, I tried Jesus, but, you know, he didn't work. Telling you, if Kurt would have done that with Jesus, there would be no story of Kurt Kirkendall to talk about. Things were, at first, really clicking for Kurt in his new soccer career. He was even invited to try out for the Olympic team, to represent the United States in the Olympics in 1975. That's when things got a bit interesting. It's then that God went to the next level, and he set the stage for God to make a huge breakthrough in Kurt's life. It was at this point when things came crashing down yet again that God was able to take him and make him into a hero. We're going to watch a 20-minute clip from this movie, For the Glory. I'd like you guys to track, and if you can, especially for any of you guys who have played sports ever, try to enter into this real man's life. You're going to see not only the incident that happens, but you're going to also get a glimpse of what his home life was like, how God-awful his family life was like, what he had to live through to become a hero for God. Roll it.
Kurt Kuykendall.
Yeah. Kuykendall, Region 1. Your team's in red over there. First game starts in a half hour. Good luck.
Good luck, number 31. Show us what you've got.
Yeah,
right, bring it in. All right, man. Let's keep the play clean. Show us the best you've got. Because you only have 3 games to prove you have what it takes to represent the United States of America. Best of luck. I hope to see you in the coming months. Let's go.
Doctor over here! Call an ambulance!
Kurt? Hi, Dr. Melanie Jeske. I'll be your orthopedist today.
So what's the deal, Doc?
Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. You have a fractured ankle. So we're going to put you in a cast, give you some crutches, and you should be able to go home.
Well, how long are we talking here?
About 6 to 8 weeks, and that's a conservative estimate.
6 to 8 weeks? No, I'm sorry. I've got Olympic tryouts this weekend.
Olympic tryouts?
Yeah, for soccer. They just asked me to try out for the team.
Well, you're going to need to call your coach. You won't be attending any Olympic tryouts this weekend. At least not on the field anyway. It's going to be a good 2 months before you even get the cast off, let alone play any soccer. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. Well, I will be back in a minute. The nurse is going to come in and get you set up for your cast. We are going to need to reposition that ankle, so prepare yourself. Might be a rough afternoon.
Can I help you?
I'm here to see Kurt. Is he in?
He's in, but he's not seeing anyone.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be a bother. I'm sure he's mentioned me before. I'm Sherry. His girlfriend. I just spoke to him on the phone.
Never told me he had a girlfriend. Now is not a good time.
Huh? Who is it?
It's nothing, honey. Just some girl.
Sherry, hey, it's okay, Ma. It's Sherry. You know the one I've been trying to tell you about?
Can I come in for a second?
Actually, we should probably get going. Bye, Mom. We'll be back in a little while, all right? We're just gonna go for a walk.
A walk? Kurt, what about your ankle? And I need you to stay home more.
Be back later, Mom.
Fine, but don't expect me to be waiting up for you.
See why we never hang out at my house.
What are you going to do now?
I don't know. My dad thinks that I should just forget soccer and get a real job. I'm starting to think he's got a point.
Kurt, it's a broken ankle. Why would you even talk about quitting? There's no way you can give up now.
Sure there is.
Kurt, you cannot quit.
Believe me, I don't want to. Which is why I need you by my side, okay? Now more than ever.
I'm with you no matter what. You know that. All I mean is that I thought you were the kind of guy who finishes what you start. And if a stupid broken ankle is going to make you give up...
Sure, that's enough.
No, it's not enough. The Kurt I know wouldn't even talk about quitting. The Kurt I know wouldn't give up even though everyone said it couldn't be done. He believes he was made to do something bigger than himself and has the guts to pursue that dream. If you quit now, then they were right about you.
You're just like everyone else.
Kurt. Look at me. I don't care if you're a broken down, has-been athlete, or a president of the United States. I love you for the man you are today. Right now. And I love you for the man you will be tomorrow. I'm not going anywhere. Unless it's with you.
So, I was thinking... What would you say about you and me getting married sometime?
Is... that a proposal?
Yeah.
Well, then... yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah! Looks like your ankle's healing nicely.
Yeah. So, Kurt, I have some great news for you.
Well, I've got some great news for you, too. But you first.
Well, it's taken me a few weeks, but I made a bunch of calls and pulled a lot of strings. They didn't have any openings, but it seems I can get you an internship on the Hill with Congressman Baker at the end of summer.
Oh, Dad. I really appreciate that, but... I might be a little busy this summer. Sherry and I are getting married.
What?
When? August 25th, if the church is free.
Wow. This is not a decision to be entered into lightly.
No, sir. Sherry's parents have already given their blessing.
How do you plan to provide for a family?
Well, actually, I've been thinking a lot about that. This came in the mail today. And it seems that they found a new Olympic coach. They're retrying out the entire team.
Oh, Kurt, not soccer again. Look where all that Olympic talk got you last time.
My old coach. You know Coach Ryan. He put in a good word for me. They want me to come to tryouts this fall. And if I make the team, I got a good shot at going pro.
Will you stop it with the Olympics already? Kurt, get your head out of the clouds. How can you possibly get married and stay married if you don't have a real job?
Trust me, Kurt. Love is not enough.
I've got all that figured out. Sherry's almost done with her teaching degree, and I recently picked up a part-time job as a PE teacher.
Physical education.
Kurt works hard at everything he does. You won't have to worry about us.
Sherry... you're a very nice girl, but I don't think you understand the situation here. Kurt, can I see you in the other room, please?
Anything you have to say to me, you can say in front of Sherry.
Now.
Is
made me a promise.
Why do you hate soccer so much?
It's what I'm good at.
You may not believe me, but I do love you. And that's why I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that doesn't happen to your marriage because you're too busy chasing a dream to provide for your family.
Look, I am not you, Dad, all right? And Sherry, she's not Mom. I thought you'd be happy for us. Thanks for dinner, Mom.
It was great.
I have to go. I have to do this.
What about us? What about your father?
You'll never know the favors I had to call in. My reputation, my career is on the line.
Yeah? So is mine. Come on, Sherry. It's time to go.
Hi.
Hey.
Kurt Kuykendall.
Oh yeah, Kuykendall. I remember you. You're that guy who broke his leg, right? Man, that's gotta mess with your head a bit, doesn't it?
Well, you don't have to worry about me. I'm back now. Stronger than ever. So where is everyone?
Well, you're here 2 hours early.
Yeah, but that's all right. Hey, why don't you give him number one? First one here, number one is yours, Keeper.
Thank you.
Look!
Simply don't need you here now.
This is your final shot at this.
If you quit now, then they were right about you.
He's fearless, but it's too bad. I had him at the top of the list, but I guess that's it for him. Kate! Keeper! How you you doing, son? Are you done?
Okay. I'm okay.
I don't know. You were unconscious. I think you're done, son.
Sad. I'm okay. Come on, let's play. Let's do this.
Heikendahl, there's someone waiting to see you out in the hall. Make it quick.
Mom, Dad, I didn't think you guys were going to make it.
Kurt, it's hard for me to admit when I'm wrong, but I'm glad you persisted. Besides, couldn't miss a chance to use this.
This is your day, baby. Go get him, okay?
I've never been more proud of anything or anyone in my life than I am of you, son.
Well, it's like someone once told me, if you don't shoot, you don't score.
Why don't you try moving it a little to the right? No, to my right. Okay, now move that left one back some.
My left?
Yeah, your left back. Wait. Wait, there it is.
Ending goal for the United States from Fairfax, Virginia, America's soccer wonder, Kurt Heikendahl.
Woo! Dude, he's right there.
He sees?
No.
A lot of pressure on their goal.
Heikendahl.
That's for sure. Heikendahl.
Sexy man. Wait, you can really see him? No, don't.
All the boys eat the mustard for the bay.
All right. Let's bring it down. Guys, what was it that changed Kurt Kuykendall from being a zero to being a hero? A rhetorical question. I'm going to answer. Two things. One, he put his faith and his trust in Jesus Christ for real. This wasn't a joke. It wasn't a religion. It wasn't just a band-aid to fix an owie. It was for real. He gave his life over to Christ. And if he hadn't have done that, he probably would have ended up just like his dad or his mom. Second thing, he believed in God through a dysfunctional family life, through crushed dreams, through some serious setbacks in life that would have made any average person say, I tried, it didn't work out for me. But he believed in God through those quitting points, and God, it was God that carried him across the finish line. It was nothing short of miraculous intervention that after his broken ankle, a new coach was brought in for the U.S. Olympic team. And so they did retryouts, giving him the opportunity that he needed to see his dream fulfilled and really to become a hero for God. Listen good to this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 says, indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. May we do the same. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for this man's life, for his perseverance through obstacles and problems and issues that I've met people who are still so crippled by past events that they've quit. They're no longer believing a great God for great things. I pray we would follow in the example of Kurt Kuykendall. God, may we be inspired by his story, that we would live for God through the quitting points, that we would stay true to our faith in Jesus Christ through thick and thin, from good times and bad. We wouldn't give up. We would be like Paul here, and he was faced, it was like the sentence of death. They felt like they were going to die. But it brought them to the point where they stopped trusting in themselves and started trusting in God, and you made all the difference. God, I pray that we would do the same and you would make all the difference in our lives, and we would be heroes for Christ in our day, in our place, and wherever we're at, whatever work, whatever situation we're in, we would be heroes for God. In Jesus' name. Amen.